if there's one thing that our field and our profession needs, it's a whole bunch of repair. And we really do see supervision as being pivotal to that.
Hello, welcome to the Seasoned RD, a podcast connecting newer professionals in the field of eating disorders
to those of us who have been around for a while. I'm your host, Beth Harrell, a certified eating disorders registered dietitian and supervisor.
And I'm Abby Brown, a registered dietitian who is newer to the field.
I think of myself as a well-seasoned cast iron skillet with wisdom and experience, yet always ready for something new.
And I think of myself as an Instapot with innovation and a fresh perspective. This podcast brings both to the table to share ingredients, recipes, and techniques of past and present so we can all be our best for the future.
The kettle is heating up. The skillet is on simmer. So join us around the table for true professional nourishment. Abby, ready to stir the pot?
Let's do it.
Welcome to the Seasoned RD podcast. I'm Beth Harrell, your host, a registered dietitian, certified specialist working in the area of disordered eating and eating disorders. I have to tell you, we were just going to try this podcast out for a couple of years. We're going on year three and almost 100 episodes. It's taken on a life of its own. And if you stick with us through the summer, you're going to see some changes. I'm really excited. Short topics, more of a focus on the evolutions, not only from professionals, but also from people who want to tell their story of recovery. Our guests today are Fiona Sutherland, a dietitian in Australia, and the amazing Lisa Pearl, RD supervisor in the U.S. If you are a dietitian supervising others or are thinking about supervising others but feel like some supervision skills training would help you, this is for you. Our guests and myself participate in lifetime supervision. It's the best connection resource for dietitians, especially those who work in behavioral health nutrition. The conversation was so rich that we're dividing it into two parts. Today is part one on skill development for dietitian supervisors providing supervision. We kind of hash out the difference between supervision and consultation. And let's face it, there's good supervision, like supportive and nurturing, positively life-changing for the dietitian and the client, and not so good supervision, like checking the boxes, feels more like a money-making plan than a relationship. And then Lisa Pearl talks about defining the rupture, the part of us that rushes in and needs to give the answers, and how do we learn more about those parts. This episode is sponsored by my MNT membership, which is rotating monthly topics on medical, nutrition, and therapy from an RD perspective. The MNT membership is not only for professionals, but anyone interested, caregivers, just anyone, basically is what's floating through my head from my 3+ decades in the field. $5 a month for tier one, and a few extra bucks you can join once a month for the open coffee talk. People come in and out as they can. It's just a conversation, kind of like office hours, about whatever the topic of the month is. So please check that out in the show notes. Speaking of show notes, if you are a professional and you haven't signed up for the freebies, that's exactly what they are. They are free monthly and short topics, 25 minutes live connections with experts in the field that I think are super interesting and timely for you. Like growth charts, how to talk with parents about weight, the client vibe of, I hate you, don't leave me. And that can bring out the need in us as professionals to save at the expense of our own nervous system, our own selves. Positive psychology, the EPSI, the ARFID, Ehlers-Danlos, and more information is in the show notes.
Hello, Fiona Sutherland and Lisa Pearl. I am shaking in my boots. I am so excited to have you both on this podcast.
Thank you, Beth. It's a delight to be here.
Oh, thank you so much, Beth. It's always so wonderful to have conversations with women in particular, but people, humans of all descriptions who I just adore and have so much respect for. Thanks for having us.
Thank you. So there's really two parts to our conversation, and we may end up cutting this into two separate episodes just to make bite-sized pieces a little more. But you have a kind of a tour coming through the United States very soon. And I want to drop this episode and get as many people filtered into those locations as possible. But first, I would like to pick your brain a little bit about the words supervision and consultation. So as you may know, IADEP, the International Association of Eating Disorders Professionals, started out with certification for eating disorders specialists doctors, medical professionals, dietitians, therapists, and it used to be CEDRD for registered dietitian. Now everyone is a CEDS because it's like the certified diabetes education and care specialist. I mean, you can be a pharmacist, you can be a social worker, you can be a dietitian, a nurse, and everyone has the same credential. So it's CEDS. But they also changed it from supervision to consultation. And I can share with you kind of the background of what, and I'm saying they, I don't work for IADEP anymore, but I can explain what that was about. But then I really, really want to hear what you all have to say about those words. So
that's great. I'd love to hear some background.
You'd love to hear? Okay. Our friend, our colleague, Jessica Setnick, said that supervision is the best gift that certification brought dietitians. And I agree with her on that. When I started in my practice 30 plus years ago, I had supervision with a more experienced dietitian who had been in the field a lot longer than I did. And that was based on what supervision is for therapists. It is a licensure. And therapists have to have a master's degree first, and then they get their supervision hours under a licensed supervisor. And the difference with dietitians was that's not required for our training. And supervision, if I'm your supervisor as a therapist, that means that I'm liable for what you do with the client. And it's my liability if you do something wrong or harmful. So that's not the way it is for dietitians. Like when I talk about consultation, it's case consults on steroids, because supervision to me is tending to the clinician's nervous system, tending to them as a human in the room across from their client. That's what I think supervision is. And that's why the shift to consultation for the legal pieces. But I think we're doing the same thing, intending to the clinician and what they need to help enact change. Does that make sense?
Sure. I'll jump in. And I know there are some differences in internationally too, in terms of the language. Supervision for me is a practice that began really early in my career as well, Beth. And I had phenomenal supervisors, mostly in the mental health realm. But it was distinctly different from the supervision that clinicians provided to mental health practitioners who were in training. That was the liability piece. They needed to sign off on the notes, things like that. But then supervision as a licensed practitioner or as a registered dietitian was really about growth and development in my own professional career. And so supervision encompasses a lot of clinical aspects, but it also is to support the growth of the practitioner. And so consultation for me as a dietitian, often I think of that in terms of case consultation, where you're sort of looking at more of the clinical aspects of a dilemma. And certainly supervision can include that, but supervision is much more encompassing of all of the different ways in which we reflect and work on doing our job better, right? And showing up for our clients, you know, in a better way. So, you know, Fiona and I have really worked on developing this training program that encompasses reflective supervision, which is really the process that I think you have experienced and we have experienced as being most engaging and most beneficial to our work. and most beneficial for our clients, and most beneficial for developing a network of colleagues, and most beneficial for advancing the field. You know, so it's this ongoing process of giving and learning. So I think we'll probably continue to use the word supervision because it's used in other parts of the world for that process, whereas consultation seems like a singular aspect as opposed to really the broader context of what we know supervision can be and what it can deliver.
Yeah. I like, can you explain, but either of you or both of you, reflective supervision? I know you've used words like giving and learning and growth and development of the practitioner, so that I've heard that phrase before, reflective supervision.
So really, reflective supervision could be interchanged with professional supervision. It's a phrase that describes what it is that we are doing in supervision. So I don't know if it's helpful, but in the good thing about supervision is that we've got some definitions, not only from within our profession, but also outside the profession. And unlike consultation, supervision has been researched. It has been, you know, it features in journals and across different practice areas, across different professional, you know, across different professions. And so it gives us an anchor point back to what it is that we are doing. So if it feels okay, I just want to read to you. I do have some notes. I want to read to you two different definitions. One, which is broadly for professional practice, and one, which is the only one that I'm aware of that exists for dietitians. Okay. So supervision is a joint endeavor in which the practitioner, with the help of a supervisor, attends to 1, their clients, 2, themselves as part of the client-practitioner relationship, 3, the wider systemic context, and in doing so, improves the quality of their work, transforms client relationships, continuously develops themselves, their practice, and the wider profession. And that definition is from Hawkins and Shohet, who are two extremely experienced psychotherapists from the UK, and that was in 2018. And this definition really points to what Lisa said so beautifully about not only what it is that we are focusing on, so we're focusing on our client, ourselves, the client and ourselves, that relationship, and also the wider context in which we all exist. And the method that we do this with is reflection. So the what and the who is us, our clients, the context, the relationships. And then the how is the vehicle. That's the reflection piece. And that's the key difference between consultation and supervision, mm-hmm. is that we are reflecting on practice to develop skills and growth and insight to take into practice again. So it's almost like the, you know, reflecting on the past in the present for the future. That's what
Ooh, I love that.
Yeah, that's what I love most about reflection. And the second one, which is specific to dietitians, it's the only one that I'm aware of. And this was by Dietitians New Zealand, who I really think probably are the steps ahead worldwide in supervision. But they say that professional supervision is an activity that demonstrates an ongoing commitment. So that's also what Lisa spoke to, is an ongoing commitment. It's not one-off. That could be consultation, and that's great. But an ongoing commitment to reflection and analysis. It is about renewing and refreshing practice to enable dietitians to continue to work within the mandate of their profession and do their best within their dietetic roles. And this is the part that I really like. Supervision can mean different things to different people at different times in their professional journey. And I think that is just so beautiful and really speaks to this lifelong, well, I think lifelong, but career-long practice.
Absolutely, the evolution. And you talked about that in an episode that you were with me on, and you said, if I answered the same question a year from now or a year ago, I may have different answers because it is means what it means in that time. And what Lisa said in the very beginning is, I'm curious, because this is specifically important to mental health and behavioral health. It's not, okay, we're looking at labs, we're calculating formulas, we're doing, you know, the things that dietitians do, but we are working within the mental health realm. What you just described, Fiona, are those for dietitians in hospital settings too, or is it really more for behavioral health?
Yeah, no, every dietitian working in every sector, every field, every speciality can benefit from supervision. I would definitely say that. It has been found inequitably more in mental health, and I would say even more so in eating disorders, because there are a lot of mental health dietitians out there that only get within workplace supervision, and some don't even really get that. Whereas in eating disorders, we have built this really strong kind of culture, I guess, of supervision to the point where it is surprising, I guess, if you're not being supervised as an eating disorder. You know, and I think that's how it should be.
Yes.
We're surprised that we're not, you know, attending to this part of our work.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, if you look at the screen here, and I know people who are listening to the podcast can't see us, our combined experience is incredible. And I imagine that you, like me, are in continuing supervision. I will not ever, until I retire, and I hope to retire old, I hope I can do this for a long time, I will never not be in some supervision of my own and my own therapeutic process as well. So that makes it really rich. And that's, I can't explain to people what, you just have to get into it. If you haven't done it, you have to get into it.
Yeah. This is great. There's so many things pinging in my brain right now. I did write something about reflective supervision that I think I'll read, just because I wanted to tag this onto what Fee was saying. So that this reflective supervision piece is the purpose is to set up reflective dialogues through which we learn from the work that we're actually doing. And we use the reflection as this medium to provide a bridge that will turn knowledge into experiential wisdom, right? And this is a ripple effect across therapeutic and collaborative relationships and over generations. And so just what you were saying, Beth, that I felt so fortunate to have wonderful supervisors in the beginning of my career. And as a result, I've been beating this drum for 40 years for dietitians to get supervision, because I just felt like it kept me in the field. It kept me interested. It kept me excited and passionate about the work I was doing. I kept learning new things. And I think now I'm at this point where I have supervision, certainly from people older than myself and younger than myself. And there is this wonderful networking that continues to enrich my professional life. So now I'm learning from you know, individuals who are younger or, you know, are just entering into the field, people who are more experienced, and this wonderful weaving of the generations and the different kinds of support and knowledge that I am beginning to kind of bring into my presence with clients. It's just, it's a really beautiful process of enriching the profession over time. It doesn't come from this hierarchical, like rigid structure. You know, it's very collaborative, very joyfully bound. And so it's relationally bound. That's what it is. And it just, it allows you to feel like your heart is in the work. You're not this robot just going through your days. You're really engaged in different ways, and your own light bulbs are going off.
Thank you for saying all of that. I'm glad that you're beating the drum for this, because that's like, people are going to follow that and have been. The weaving of the generation, that is because we learn from our clients as much as they learn from us. We learn from our supervisees as much as they learn from us. And it's that weaving up. This is what the podcast is about. In the intro, I'm the cast iron skillet, stood the test of time, you know, and the newer dietitian coming into the field of eating disorders is the Instapot. She brings different innovations and different technologies and different ideas, and those are both come to the table. That's what you said, is the weaving of the generations and that joyfully bound, and the heart is in the work. That's like, that makes me want to be in one of your sessions coming up. So I want you to talk about, because I want an example for our listeners of what you might do with a dietitian. Who would be your perfect person to be in your groups? Where are they going to be? Give us an example of what they would see.
So you're talking about the groups for our workshops, not our supervision groups.
Yeah. Well, the workshops, and those are for the workshops. Tell me what that's about.
So, I don't want to speak over Fee, but the workshops in this training is really something that developed quite naturally. Fee and I were at a conference in New York City, and we are both receiving supervision, we're giving supervision. We said, hey, wouldn't it be nice if we had supervision for our supervision? And so that started this process of working together, looking at how do supervisors get trained? What's their, like, how do they come into this work with a skill set that they can share with supervisees who will then, you know, either pass it along to their future supervisees, or maybe it will develop a parallel process that they can use with their clients. And so we started to do some research and worked with Massey Evans and developed quite a bit of material on how to actually train people to be effective supervisors. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we were learning along the way and really enjoying the process, and thought, you know, maybe other people would enjoy this material. And we know that a lot more dietitians are providing supervision. Would they like some support, and would they like to be in on the ground level and maybe defining what supervision in dietetics looks like?
So I'll add to that, you know, thus far, really around the world, and I will pause at this point to pay the highest respect and tribute and credit to my amazing colleague here in Australia, Tara McGregor, who is both a dietitian and a therapist and has done an enormous amount of work towards developing supervision within Australian dietetic landscape. So a lot of what I have learned is through Tara and various other incredible Australian supervising dietitians. So it's really, here in Australia, it's really began as a, you know, a real groundswell of unmet need, really, in lots of ways. And worldwide, I think it could probably confidently be said that there's no pathway for dietitians to become supervisors beyond clinical practice hours. So, like, you know, years in the saddle, so to speak. And then also, you know, sometimes that's it. Sometimes, you know, the role of supervisor is bestowed upon people purely out of necessity in a workplace, out of hours or years in the saddle, that somebody is asked to do this thing that we call supervision. And the reality is, and I've had so many conversations with dietitians, is that if we are really honest with ourselves, the majority of the time we're not exactly sure what we're doing. We're kind of maybe copying or mimicking what kind of supervision we've had or what kind of managerial style we have had ourselves. And so there's this been kind of lack of pathway for dietitians to learn the distinct skill set that comes with being a supervisor, that is different to being a clinician. It's different to being a manager. It's different to being a practice owner. It's different again. It's a separate, distinct skill set, which merges together a really advanced capacity to hold space for a colleague. So it's not a client, it's a colleague, and what they are bringing about their work, which often has a personal component to it, as supervision often does. So I think what Tara, through Dietitian Supervision Resources Australia, and myself and a team of us, and then now, you know, Lisa, Marcy, and various people dotted throughout the world, what we are aiming to do is to forge a path so that when dietitians are either put in the role of supervisor or want to develop their skills in this particular distinct skill set, that they have somewhere to go, that they are able to understand how to do this not only well, but also with safety and ethical practice in mind, because at the core of it, that's really what supervision is about, is about safe and ethical care of our clients and also our own care. So, you know, there's lots of different things that we're looking at. It's a busy place, supervision. There's lots going on. And so having some frameworks, some models, some things to kind of lean back on, my observation is this is not common worldwide. Certainly in my early practice, I was extremely lucky to have a family therapist as my first supervisor. And so I had somebody who was very experienced in supervision and in systems, but that is not most people's experience. So what we're aiming to bring with this training is some consistency and some frameworks and models that we didn't invent that are very, very well practiced throughout mental health and now in dietetics, which is wonderful. So we've got anchor points into the practice. We're not like flailing about and wondering kind of what we're doing. We have some anchor points into the practice that we feel now we name it as, this is the supervisory space. This is the supervisory practice. This is, you know, so we know when we're doing supervision because we're doing these particular activities.
Specific anchored activities, yes. And you talked about forging a path, and Lisa had talked earlier about beating this drum so that people can follow that path, and the anchor points with some of the research, and also pairing with a dietitian / therapist. So I taught, I had two different groups of what I called supervisors at supervision, and it was taught by me and a licensed therapist, so that she was bringing in the therapy realm, I was bringing in the dietitian realm, but also you mentioned, Fiona, the manager, because when dietitians who aren't familiar with supervision in the way that we're talking about it, they think, oh, my supervisor at work. Well, no, that's your manager. That's the person who does your performance review. That's the person who gives you a raise or not. That's the person who does all the functions of managing your position. So that can be a supervisor at work, a manager. And supervision, what we're talking about, is so completely different. But you're using anchor points and some research and experience. I have to say, when you said years in the saddle, that doesn't always mean good practices. So let me just use my signature, my name. As I'm signing my name over the years, it gets messier and messier. So it's not like the years in the saddle make it more clean cut and better formed. So I can use my years in the saddle, but use the anchor points that you're talking about. So tell me more about the workshops. Where is it going to be? Who is your ideal colleague?
So we're running it in two parts. The first part is going to be live online, and that's going to be more the kind of teaching for learning style, a bit more didactic. And that's going to be really, really getting down the foundations of supervision, you know, developing a shared understanding about what this is that we're talking about. And there certainly is going to be some lively discussion, we hope, and some breakout rooms and, you know, lots of creativity, even in that online space. And then we're taking it to four cities, and Lisa has a very busy life. She's a very busy person. So I will be visiting Seattle and Austin. That will be in earlier May 2024. And then I'll be joining Lisa, with thanks to the Renfrew Center, in Boston. So I can't wait, because teaching with somebody else or sharing space with somebody else is my absolute favorite. Like that is my happy place. And Lisa is it's such a pleasure to work with, that she is phenomenal, as you, Beth, and most of your listeners will know. And then I have an opportunity to go to London, UK in June. So I'll be taking the live portion there. So what we'll be doing is inviting everybody who signs up into the live online all together. It'll be a beautiful melting pot of people. And then we'll be going off and doing our live one day in each of the cities. So the kind of people who might sign up are people who are already supervising. So they might be a certified eating disorder consultant, okay, or they may not be. They might not have anything to do with IADAP. You know, I don't. So, it can be anything that, you know, people are welcome to come along, and, you know, it doesn't have to be any particular affiliation there whatsoever. But potentially people who are either already supervising and are really wanting to develop this very specific skill set in being a supervisor. They may have had phenomenal supervision. We had some of the best potentially supervisors in our very first training in Boston the year before last. Like phenomenal group, phenomenal, including, you know, people like Jessica Setnick and Marcy Evans and people of that caliber, a whole room full. So this is doesn't exclude anybody in particular, but we do ask that you're either already doing this thing that we call supervision, or you're really looking to step up into supervision and you have a really solid, decent clinical background, so that this is kind of the next step in your professional journey.
Yeah. You know, Fia, I just want to highlight our groups that we've done so far, because, you know, at the heart of supervision is learning and growth and validation and support and all of those wonderful things. But when we come together, when a group comes together to share ideas and really develop concepts of supervision, the feeling I get being in the room is just love. That dietitians are an incredible group of individuals who share, they're generous, they offer, you know, support for one another. There's this sense of like we've been desperate for validation and to have a whole group of individuals who we admire, and they are so thoughtful and kind and insightful, and to have that kind of validation and encouragement for the work that we do is just extraordinary. So I know Fee and I have walked away from these workshops just feeling like, yeah, we're on to something here.
You are on to something here.
We feel really good.
Yeah. Well, and I know you
else is feeling really good too. Yeah.
Yeah. I've had people say, Beth, this is so you. You need to attend one of these at some point. And you have repeat dietitians who come time after time. They're already out there doing the great work, and they just want to hone in.
Thank you for listening. And if you want to connect with me for all things eating disorders and disordered eating from an RD, registered dietitian perspective, there are three ways to do that. One is my membership, and actually two of those ways are my membership. There's a tier one and a tier two, but the membership is for anyone, not only professionals, anyone who wants to join the conversation about medical, nutrition, therapy, perspectives floating through my brain, things that I've learned through the podcast, things that I've learned in my 3+ decades of work with all ages. And the membership has monthly content with the two tiers. Tier one is the content and a text community where we can share ideas. And tier two is once per month with a live coffee talk where you can just pop in and say hi, or you can be a fly on the wall and just listen to some ideas related to that month's theme. And then finally, for professionals, I offer small consult groups that run from January to June and July to December, usually therapists and RDs, but I would love to have a medical provider. And I offer individual consultation. Information on all this is in the show notes.